We often associate this particular passage with Pentecost, that time when the Holy Spirit came upon Peter and he spoke there in Jerusalem, and thousands and thousands of thousands came to the Lord. Because Peter, as the Holy Spirit came upon him, quoted out of Joel. But Joel this morning is talking to us at a time when Israel was in a place of bombardment, both by human enemies and by nature. And now I have never seen what locusts can do. I have heard of the Dust Bowl that we had in the 1930s. I've seen what grubs and crows can do to my front yard, but I have not seen the devastation that locusts can do. How it can take that which is fertile and turn it to that which is dust. But in the midst of that time of dust, we hear this word of hope from God. We hear this word of hope that there, even in the midst of floodwaters, even in the midst of your worst devastation, I have this promise. This promise for each of you that I will pour out my Spirit upon you. And if you notice, the scripture is very clear who God pours his Spirit out upon. At that time in Israel, it was all of Israel. But when we hear it through Peter's language, and even when we listen to Joel, it is on everyone, even slaves, male and female, even children who weren't counted, even daughters who weren't counted, would receive the gift of the Spirit of God. And in that Spirit came that gift of prophecy, of being able to see visions and dream dreams, of a hope, of a belief that God will win, that in the midst of all this destruction, I am the Lord your God, and I am in your midst, and I can bring about those full vats of wheat, and that we will have a feast. Did you hear the communion elements in that? We will have a feast of grain and wine that I, the Lord your God, will provide if you turn to me. So I want us to think about that. That if we actually say, pour out your Spirit upon us, gracious Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, come. When we offer that prayer to God, what are we asking for? Do we know what we're asking for? If the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, we are also asking for God to move into us and move out into the world through us. That God will give us dreams and visions. And when God gives us dreams and visions, he gives us the gifts that we need to bring them into the world. Now, I don't know about many of you, but as a little girl, I had dreams and visions of my future. I was going to be a Hollywood star. And I was going to have my name on the Hall of Fame. I was going to be in all those musicals with Fred Astaire. I was going to be his partner. Obviously, that dream did not come true. The dreams that we sometimes have as children are childish dreams. But when we call upon the Holy Spirit and ask for God to bring us a dream or the vision of what God would have us do or who God would have us to be, you can count on it, church. God's going to send the vision. But what happens then when we have that vision in our hands? When we have the dream of what God is calling us to be and do, it means that we've got to get going, doesn't it? It means we've got to get out of the way for God to do God's work in our midst. It means we can't be the Pharisee saying, hey, God came to church Sunday. I made my offering. I made my pledge. I've been to Sunday school. I've read my Bible this week. No, we need to be the tax collector on our knees saying, God, please remove from me everything that gets in the way of my relationship to you and how you will have me serve the world. Our prayers need to be focused on the God who calls us into service and then on the calling God places upon us. I have been speaking for many, many weeks, I think many, many months, maybe even many, many years here at Plank Chapel about what is our purpose here? What is our dream here? What is our vision here of how God sees us as the body of Christ here in this place with these deep, deep roots of faith here in this place? What is the vision God is putting upon our hearts? Are we saying, come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your power. Fill us with your grace. Give us the vision of who we can be. Or do we allow the world to keep countering that effort? Keep countering who God is calling us to be. We have been bombarded by visions of late, haven't we? Some of them we really don't even want to see. We have been bombarded by the news, bombarded by political ads, bombarded by everything you can think of that tells us that the world is going down the tubes faster than we can flush it. When I'm asked, where do I stand? When I'm asked, what is my position on this? I only offer one thing, and that's that God wins. If we allow the world to turn our focus away from who we are called to be as followers of Jesus Christ, if we allow the world to turn us away from the work that God has called us to do as followers of Jesus Christ, then we step into the world's business doing what the world wants us to do or not do so that we get flushed down the toilet with the rest of the world. Or we can choose to get in those quiet moments of prayer and recognize all the things of the world we really want to hold on to and not do what God's calling us to do, that what our schedules are filled with, that we don't want to make time for God, that our life is so filled with that we don't want to do the work God's called us to do. When we do that, when we separate that all out, get on our knees and say, Lord, do with me what you will. Forgive me, for I am a sinner, and I have loved the world more than I love you. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this place. Fill my heart. Fill my soul. Fill my church. Fill this community with the power of your transforming love. Give me a sign, a vision, a way to move forward. Use me. Use the gifts you've given me so that the world might be transformed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.